This article is brought to you by the best-selling books 8 Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Conflict escalation versus conflict containment in negotiation. Which strategy delivers better outcomes? Two paths through negotiation conflict. Only one fits your moment. In short, conflict escalation and conflict containment are not personality types. They are negotiation strategies, and knowing which one the moment demands is a skill that takes years to build. Escalation raises the intensity of a conflict deliberately to force movement on a stuck position. Containment reduces intensity deliberately to preserve the conditions needed for agreement. Neither is inherently stronger. The one that delivers better outcomes is the one that fits the situation you are actually in. Definition: conflict escalation in negotiation is the deliberate increase of pressure, tension, or stakes to break a deadlock or signal a firm boundary. Conflict containment is the deliberate reduction of that same pressure to preserve the relationship and conditions needed for a workable agreement. A contract negotiation I watched go badly wrong in the early 90s taught me something I have never forgotten. The lead negotiator on one side decided to push hard when the other party stalled. He escalated. His counterpart interpreted that escalation as aggression rather than strategy and walked out. What the first man needed was not more force. He needed to hold the space, let the tension settle, and give his counterpart a reason to return to the table. He confused one strategy for another, and it cost his organization a 2-year partnership. Conflict escalation and conflict containment are two of the most misunderstood tools in negotiation. People confuse them constantly. They contain when they should escalate, they escalate when they should contain, and they rarely know which is which until they see the damage. Understanding the real difference between these two strategies will change how you handle every difficult negotiation from this point forward. What conflict escalation actually looks like in practice. Conflict escalation is not anger. It is not shouting or losing your temper. It is a deliberate decision to increase the intensity, visibility, or consequence of a conflict to force movement from a position that has become stuck. In negotiation, you escalate when you bring in a more senior party, when you make a private disagreement public, when you attach a firm deadline to a stalled demand, or when you begin withdrawing concessions you had already offered. Each of these actions says the same thing: the current situation is no longer acceptable, and the cost of continuing it is rising. That signal, delivered clearly and with control, is what escalation is for. The critical word is deliberate. Escalation that happens because you lost patience is not a strategy. It is a mistake. True conflict escalation in negotiation requires that you know what response would cause you to de-escalate, that you have considered what your counterpart is likely to do when the pressure rises, and that you have an exit from the tension that does not require either party to be humiliated. What conflict containment requires of you. Conflict containment is the intentional reduction of tension in a negotiation, not because you are backing down, but because you have assessed that the conditions for agreement are better served by a lower temperature. You contain conflict when you slow a conversation down, when you shift from positions to interests, when you call a break before words are exchanged that cannot be taken back, or when you reframe a sharp disagreement as a shared problem. If you have ever sat across from someone who is visibly furious and chose to speak quietly and steadily rather than match their energy, you are containing conflict. That takes more strength, not less. Containment is often confused with avoidance, and I will address that confusion directly later. For now, the key distinction is this: containment is an active choice made with a goal in mind. You are not suppressing the conflict. You are managing the conditions around it so that the underlying issues remain addressable. For a deeper look at how this works in practice, the approach outlined in tension suppression versus tension resolution, which approach actually works, makes the boundary between active management and passive avoidance very clear. Side by side, how these two strategies compare. Dimension: conflict escalation, conflict containment. Primary intent: force movement on a stuck position, preserve conditions for agreement. Emotional temperature raises deliberately, lowers deliberately. Relationship effect: can damage if sustained, protects and sometimes strengthens. Power signal: the cost of no movement is rising, I'm choosing a workable outcome. Risk if misused: spiral, workout, permanent and past perceived weakness, slow drift to nowhere. Best used when deadlock, bad faith, boundary violation, high emotion, long-term relationship at stake. Exit strategy needed. Essential must define the off-ramp. Important must not become permanent suppression. The table tells you what each strategy does. What it cannot tell you is how the syntactic lands differently depending on timing. Escalation in the first hour of a negotiation reads as aggression. Escalation after three rounds of patient engagement reads as a firm boundary. Containment after a genuine threat looks like weakness. Containment after a moment of mutual tension looks like leadership. Tactics do not operate in isolation from context. The other dimension the table cannot capture is the internal work both strategies demand. Escalation requires you to manage your own composure while increasing external pressure. That is a difficult combination to hold. Containment requires you to stay present and active while everything in you wants to either fight or flee. Neither is a passive strategy. Both require real preparation and genuine courage to execute well. Where escalation and containment overlap. Here is the truth of it. The most skilled negotiators do not choose one of these strategies and stick with it. They sequence them. A negotiator who escalates to establish a boundary and then contains to give the other party space to respond is using both tools in a single exchange. The escalation communicates seriousness. The containment creates the conditions for the other party to acknowledge the boundary without losing face. Remove either half and you lose something. Escalation without containment becomes a corner that neither party can exit. Containment without any prior escalation can fail to signal that you have genuine limits at all. The overlap matters because it tells you that these strategies are not opposites in the way that winning and losing are opposites. They are complementary instruments. The question is never really which one is better. The question is which one does this moment require and what comes next. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. When to escalate conflict in a negotiation. Use escalation when the other party is negotiating in bad faith, when your genuine limits are not being taken seriously, or when a deadlock has lasted long enough that maintaining the status quo costs you more than the risk of increasing pressure. Three concrete signals tell you escalation is warranted. First, your counterpart has stopped offering movement on anything of substance and is running out the clock. Second, they've broken an agreement you reached earlier in the process without explanation or apology. Third, they're treating your stated limits as opening positions rather than as real constraints. When any of these is present, containment is not serving you. You need your counterpart to understand that the cost of the current situation is about to change. Escalation is also appropriate when a boundary has been crossed that you cannot let stand without consequence. If you let a violation pass without response, you signal that your limits are negotiable. That signal follows you into every future exchange with that party. Addressing a violated boundary cleanly and directly, even if it raises the temperature, protects your credibility for the long run. The guidance in how to handle conflict during meetings covers how to do this without letting escalation become spectacle. When containment delivers more than escalation can. Choose containment when the relationship matters beyond the current deal, when your counterpart's emotional state has made clear thinking impossible, or when escalation would trigger consequences that you cannot manage. Long-term supplier relationships, internal team negotiations, and partnerships where future collaboration is the real asset all sit in this category. A deal you win by escalating at the cost of a relationship you need for the next 5 years is not a win. It is a short-term gain wrapped in a long-term loss. Containment is also your correct strategy when the other party is reacting emotionally rather than strategically. Escalating against someone who has already lost their composure does not produce a better outcome. It produces a bigger fire. Your job in that moment is to lower the temperature enough that the real interests on both sides can surface again. The framework in how to de-escalate arguments during meetings gives you a practical method for doing exactly that under pressure. One more context: containment is essential when you are not yet certain what is driving the other party's resistance. Escalating against resistance you do not fully understand is like pushing harder on a door that opens the other way. Understanding what is underneath the stall, which is almost always an unmet need of some kind, is the first step. How unmet needs drive team conflict and what to say to restore synergy gives you a clear method for surfacing those needs before the conflict deepens. Three ways negotiators confuse these two strategies. Treating containment as weakness. The mistake. A negotiator backs off every time tension rises, calling it keeping things professional, when what they are actually doing is avoiding discomfort. Why it happens. Containment and avoidance feel identical in the short term. Both reduce immediate tension. What to do instead? Ask yourself whether you are managing the conditions for agreement or simply deferring a conversation you do not want to have. If it is the latter, you are suppressing, not containing. Escalating without an exit plan. The mistake. A negotiator increases pressure without knowing what response would cause them to stand down. Why it happens. Escalation in the moment feels like strength, but escalation with no defined off-ramp becomes a spiral that neither party knows how to exit. What to do instead? Before you escalate, state to yourself, if they do X, I will de-escalate by doing Y. Without that, you are not strategizing. You are reacting. Assuming one strategy fits all negotiation conflicts. The mistake. A negotiator who is naturally assertive always escalates. A negotiator who values harmony always contains. Neither is reading the situation. Both are defaulting to comfort. Why it happens? We mistake our preferred style for good judgment. What to do instead? Treat each conflict as a fresh read. Ask what the situation requires, not what you're comfortable doing. The deal method for resolving fractured team conflicts gives you a structured way to assess before you act. Reading the room, choosing your strategy in the moment. The practical test is simpler than most people expect. Ask three questions before you decide. First, what is the current cost of inaction? If the deadlock is costing you more than the risk of escalation, escalate. If you can afford to wait and the relationship is worth protecting, contain. Second, what is driving your counterpart's position? If it is bad faith, escalation may be your only honest signal. If it is unmet needs or high emotion, containment gives those factors space to resolve. The deal method for diffusing tension between colleagues who refuse to cooperate is useful here for structuring your read of what is actually happening. Third, what does the relationship need to look like after this negotiation ends? If you need to work with this person next month, next year, or across the next decade, the way you handle today's conflict is the foundation you're laying for all of that. The bridge method for rebuilding relationships after genuine breakdown is worth knowing before you escalate in any context where repair will be needed. The real measure of both strategies. I've sat in enough difficult rooms over 6 decades to know that the negotiators who deliver the best outcomes are not the ones who escalate the hardest or the ones who keep everything smooth. They are the ones who can tell the difference between a moment that needs more pressure and a moment that needs more patience. Conflict escalation in negotiation is a tool of courage when used with control and intention. Conflict containment is a tool of strength when used with clarity and purpose. The difference between them is not a matter of personality. It is a matter of honest assessment. You read the situation. You choose a strategy that serves the outcome, and you execute it with enough skill that your counterpart respects the result, even when they did not get everything they wanted. That is what good negotiation looks like. Practice the read, not just the tactic. Frequently asked questions. What is conflict escalation in negotiation? Conflict escalation in negotiation is a deliberate strategy of increasing pressure, visibility, or intensity to force movement from a stuck position. It is not a loss of control. When applied with clear purpose and a defined exit point, it can break deadlocks that patience alone cannot shift. When should you use conflict containment instead of escalation? Use conflict containment when the relationship with your counterpart matters beyond the current deal, when emotions are too high for clear thinking, or when escalation would trigger consequences you cannot manage. Containment preserves conditions for a future agreement and protects the working relationship. Can conflict escalation and containment be used together in negotiation? Yes, skilled negotiators often escalate to establish a boundary, then shift to containment once that boundary is acknowledged. The sequence matters: escalate to signal seriousness, then contain to create the space for the other party to respond without losing face. What is the biggest mistake negotiators make with conflict escalation? The most common mistake is escalating without a clear exit strategy. Escalation that has no end condition becomes a spiral. Before you increase pressure, know exactly what response would cause you to stand down. Without that, you lose control of the process. How do you contain conflict during a negotiation without appearing weak? Containment is not submission. Name what you are doing. Tell your counterpart you are choosing to pause the tension because you want a workable outcome, not because you are backing down. Framing containment as a deliberate choice preserves your credibility and signals confidence. How does conflict escalation differ from aggressive negotiation? Aggressive negotiation uses pressure as a general style. Conflict escalation is a specific, time-limited tactic with a defined purpose. Escalation is strategic and exits when the goal is met. Aggression is habitual and often damages relationships long after the deal is done. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.